Good morning. We are very excited to have you with us today, especially if you are a visitor. We want you to know that you are our honored guest, and we would love to get an opportunity to get to know you after our services in this morning. Joseph was sold into the land of Egypt by the hands of his merciless brothers. There were dark and uncertain days for him, including but not limited to the accusation of Potiphar's wife and then being thrown into prison. But God was with Joseph. At age 30, 17 years after being sold into slavery, Joseph was given a position of great power, second in command to Pharaoh himself. Joseph was then reunited with his family. His brothers had deeply wounded him, but he found it in his heart to forgive. And as a result, he was reunited with his father, Jacob, who loved him so dearly. Joseph and all of his family were in the land of Egypt, but eventually they died, and there was a king in Egypt who no longer knew Joseph. This king was afraid of the people of Israel, and so he ruthlessly made them work as slaves. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied. Pharaoh had a plan for this. He said, I am commanding you, if you have a male child, then you are to cast him into the Nile River. But there was a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi, Amram and Jochebed, and they had a little boy, and like any loving parent, they didn't want to throw him into the Nile River, and so they hid him for 3 months. And when they couldn't hide him any longer, his mother put the little boy inside of a basket and placed him among the reeds in the Nile River, and then his sister waited to see what would happen. Now, the daughter of Pharaoh was outside in order to take a bath, and she was next to the Nile River, and she saw this little boy, and she understood that he was a Hebrew, but it says that she had compassion on him, and so she took the little boy and named him Moses and adopted him as her own. Now, when Moses was 40 years old, he went outside one day and he saw an Egyptian taskmaster that was beating a Hebrew. Moses intervenes. He strikes down the Egyptian. And then he finds out that his actions have become known to the king. He's afraid, so he flees to the land of Midian. And there he lives with his father-in-law, Jethro, and his wife, Zipporah, and his son, Gershom, for 40 years. Israel was in bondage. They were being oppressed, but God heard their cry. Now, our text this morning is Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. If you'd like to turn there. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I also have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. And then God says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh. Moses is 80 years old, and he is tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses had been doing this for 40 years. And he sees something that's very unusual. He sees a bush that is burning. Now, that wasn't uncommon in that area to see. But it says that the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And then the text says that Moses draws in closer to investigate. I think each and every one of us would do that if we saw something that was on fire and it continued to burn. God, when he noticed that Moses had turned aside to look at this bush, and he said, Moses, I need you to take off your sandals because the place where you're standing, it's holy ground. And it says that Moses was afraid to look at God. And then God said, Moses, I want to send you back into the land of Egypt, the place where you haven't been in 40 years. We're going to make three simple points this morning. Number one, when Moses thought he was ready, God did not think he was ready. Let's look to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 11. One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Then he went out the next day. Behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, why do you strike your companion? And he answered, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid. Moses is outside and he sees an Egyptian taskmaster beating a Hebrew. And then something unexpected happens. Moses strikes down the Egyptian. Now, why would a man of God and the author of a good portion of the Old Testament do a thing like this? Perhaps this was the first time he had seen a Hebrew being mistreated in this way. But that seems unlikely because Moses was the son of, the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was trained in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was, according to Acts 7, mighty in his words and deeds, being trained by them. Surely, he had seen a fellow Hebrew being mistreated in this way on other occasions. Or perhaps Moses was angry with this particular Egyptian. That would make sense, right? If someone wounded you or made you angry in some way, and then you had an opportunity to do something about it, then that could make sense. But the text doesn't lend any credence to that thought. So why did Moses step in and do this? The answer is found in Acts chapter 7, if you'll turn there with me. We're going to read verses 20 through 25. Acts chapter 7, verses 20 through 25. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight, and he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. It says Moses was beautiful in God's sight. Now, perhaps he wasn't exceptionally a beautiful little boy, but I think what that means is God had big plans for Moses. And it says that he was trained in all their ways. Verse 23, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand. Let's read that last part one more time. He supposed that they would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand. When I was a little boy, there was many things that I wanted. When Christmas came around, I had an exhaustive Christmas list. If my parents would have purchased all those items, then they would have had to file for bankruptcy. But there was one particular item that they did not buy me. This is a good thing because it wasn't something that I needed. But I wanted a dirt bike or a motorcycle of some kind. My grandpa, Wright, always had a motorcycle, or he would have them at different times. And my dad has a large family, and so four of his brothers either own a motorcycle currently or have owned one. So when I was a little boy, I'd go over to Uncle Sam's house or Uncle Jim's house, and I'd see their motorcycle in the carport, and I thought, I really want one of those. And so in June of 2012, a little over 2 years ago, I decided to buy one. I wasn't living with mom and dad, and they probably was hoping they wouldn't find out about it right away. And so I went to the North Texas House of Motorcycles, which isn't that far away from here, and I bought a little red Honda. Now, I thought that I was ready to ride this motorcycle because I had previously had a scooter. Now, it's not what you think. It wasn't just a very small little 50. It almost looked like a motorcycle. But anyway, I had a permit from Indiana. So I had all this exhaustive experience on the scooter, and I had my permit. And so when I bought the motorcycle, I thought, I'm ready. I'm ready to ride this motorcycle. It came home from the dealership. I took a 30 or 40 minute ride. Everything went fine. And then I called my parents and broke the news to them that I bought something they probably weren't going to be excited about. And later that evening, I was hungry, so I thought I'm going to ride my motorcycle to go to a restaurant. So I just drove to Taco Bell. It was 5 minutes from my apartment. And I ate, I came back outside, I got back on the bike, and then that's when things didn't go as well. I had my handlebars turned all the way to the left, and basically it lurched, I dropped it. And my first thought was, I just bought this motorcycle, I don't want it hitting the ground, so I did the best I could to keep it from doing that, and I broke my foot. And then I had to ride it home with my foot broken. I thought that I was ready to have that motorcycle, but I wasn't. Moses thought at age 40 that he was ready to lead God's people out of bondage, but he wasn't ready. Number two, when God thought Moses was ready, Moses did not think he was ready. Turn with me back to Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3. God says, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" Forty years in the land of Midian would give you a lot of time to think. I wonder if Moses, on frequent occasions, had flashbacks of being in Egypt at age 40 in a powerful position, being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I wonder if he revisited that scene where he struck down the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. Moses thought at that time that he was going to lead God's people out. He was going to do it his way. But that's not the Moses we see in chapter 3 and verse 11. He says, "God, who am I?" How is Moses feeling? There's a clue found in the naming of his son. His first child was named Gershom, which means banishment. Moses felt like an absolute failure. He thought, as far as leadership is concerned, God is done with me. I was in Egypt. I tried it. I've been there. I've done that. It didn't work. Here I am. I'm just a shepherd now. And Moses has a few more objections. He says, "Well, Lord, what if they ask for your name?" And God says, "Well, tell them that I am, Moses, I am the everlasting God." And then Moses says, "Well, what if they won't listen to me?" Then God says, "I'm going to give you a few signs." He says, "Moses, I want you to take your staff and throw it on the ground." Moses does that, and it turns into a serpent. And I think this is kind of funny. It says that Moses ran away. I think each of us, if I saw a snake, I'd want to get away from it as well. But then God says, "I want you to pick the serpent up by its tail." He does so. It turns back into a staff. And then God says, "Now I want you to take your hand and place it inside of your cloak." Moses does it. He pulls it out, and the text says that it is leprous as white as snow. And God says, "If your brothers won't believe these first two signs, then I want you to take some water from the Nile, and then I will turn that into blood." And then Moses, his last objection is, he says, "God, I'm not eloquent." And at this point, God gets a little frustrated with them. He says, Moses, I'm going to be with your words, and I'm going to be with your brother Aaron's words, and you're going to be able to do this. Moses felt like an absolute failure. He thought that God was done with him. But what was God's promise? He said, Moses, I will be with you. And that brings us to point three. When God calls you to do something, then you're ready, whether you feel like it or not. Perhaps God has called you to do evangelism. Lord, I would love to do evangelism, but I'm afraid that I wouldn't know what to say. And besides, what if someone asks me a question and I don't know the answer to it? God's promise, I will be with you. Or maybe God has called you to fulfill an eldership role. Yes, Lord, I am faithful to my wife. I am willing to teach Bible classes. I am hospitable. I do have a good reputation. But, Lord, I just don't feel ready to do this. God says, I will be with you. Or maybe God has called you to be a good husband. And you say, Lord, well, that's very difficult for me to do because my wife, she doesn't treat me with respect. I understand that I'm supposed to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I know that I'm to live with her in an understanding way, but I just don't have the strength to be what I need to be for her right now. I will be with you. Or maybe God, and I know that he has called you to obey the gospel. Lord, you don't want me to obey the gospel because I've done things that I can't change that make me feel ashamed. And I just don't know how you can forgive me. God's promise to Abraham, he said, Lord, I can't do this. I will be with you. I can promise you, if this morning, if you're baptized and you're buried into that watery tomb, then God is going to be with you. The blood of Jesus is going to be with you. It's going to cleanse you and mold you and shape you into a brand new person and a fresh start. God called Moses to do a great thing. He called him to lead his people out of bondage. And that's exactly what he did. He delivered the people of Israel with a mighty hand. If you will put your trust in him today, and you will answer his calling, even if you don't feel ready, then God, with his mighty hand, will lead you for his great purposes. If you have any need today, then we want you to come as we stand and as we sing.
Upon him. his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord Jesus.